Welcome to episode 37 of the Fredcast for Wednesday, September 27th, 2006. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. Welcome to the third of our four special shows covering the 2006 Interbike Expo. On today's episode, the doors to the Sands Convention Center were finally open. Tonight's show will include interviews from some very Fred-worthy companies. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes another special episode of the Fredcast. Well, the day finally arrived. Interbike 2006 is now underway, and I had a full day of walking, talking, walking, schmoozing, walking, drooling, walking, interviewing, and guess what? More walking. It's been several years since I've attended an Interbike Expo, and from what I've seen, let me assure you that the bike industry is alive and well. And that's not just here in the United States, but all over the world. This literally could be one of the largest interbikes I've ever seen. So before we get started, here are the stats. There are over 1,000 brands from 25 countries represented here on over 300,000 square feet of floor space. Prior to the show's opening, it was expected that nearly 20,000 people would attend the show, and from the crowds in the aisles, I believe it. The show started at 9 a.m. and ended at 6 p.m., although I didn't leave the hall until well after 6:30. In all that time, I don't think I was able to see even half of the show, so you can imagine that there are literally thousands of bikes, components, accessories, and clothing items here. So while I wish I could bring you every single product that's on the show floor, I had to be selective in what I was able to talk about. Otherwise, this show was going to go on for days. So instead, I made appointments well in advance with manufacturers and had them talk to me on mic about their latest and their greatest products and innovations. I've even tried to bring you information on things that you've emailed and asked me about. So without further ado, here are the interviews I did today out on the show floor. I hope you enjoy them, and I hope you enjoy this special episode of the Fredcast. Well, the first place I stopped by today was the Guru Bicycle Booths, and I had a chance to talk with their president, Tony Janaskali, and he had a lot to tell me, not only about their bikes and the technology that they use, but about a very innovative fit system that they've got for making sure that every custom bike fits the rider exactly. Here's how that interview went. I'm at the Guru Bicycle Booth. I'm talking to Tony Janaskali. And we're talking about their new, very innovative bicycle fitting device for their custom bikes. Tony, tell me what we're looking at.
Well, the Guru Fit Unit is probably the most innovative fitting unit of its kind. It's the first of its kind in the world. And what we wanted to do when we designed this particular unit is that we wanted to really facilitate and simplify the dealer's work when fitting a customer. Also, we wanted to make sure that the cyclist was in his optimal fit position, in that we wanted to account for comfort and performance all at the same time. So this device measures heart rate, measures cadence, measures power output, left leg versus right leg. We're using the Velotron dynamometer to evaluate that. And secondly, the rider is able to basically say whether or not he's comfortable in any given position. And so once we combine that data along with the rider feedback in any particular position, then we can actually design a bicycle at the click of a button. We can really work from the human body down to the frame rather than working from the frame up to the human body, which is what is currently being done today. So the whole process is extremely innovative.
Now, one of the things that you said to me before was that it's not a static unit. Explain what you mean by that.
It's a dynamic fit unit in that with when the cyclist mounts the unit, we can adjust their position without having them get off the bicycle. So there are actuators, linear actuators, which are remote controlled. And with that remote controlled unit, we can adjust the rider position, saddle height, fore aft position, along with handlebar position as well. And so we account for all of that without having the rider get on, get off, embark, disembark. And so that really simplifies the whole process.
So what that means is while you're sitting on the bike, they can raise and lower your saddle
remote controlled, and they can raise and lower your handlebars all by remote while you're riding the bike. You never have to stop pedaling. You never have to get off the bike. It's very amazing. And then there's a computer readout. What happens once all of that data is collected? It goes into the computer. Where does it go from there?
There's a database. That information is saved. And then that can be the X and Y coordinate for the saddle position, X and Y coordinates for the handlebar position are sent to Guru. And we can then immediately, at the click of a button, determine the frame geometry for that given cyclist.
And then what happens? Now, of course, that's done by a human, right? And then after that, it gets sent back to the dealer. What happens then?
Oh, yes, it gets sent back to the dealer, and who has to obviously approve the drawing along with his customer. He has to make sure that we haven't made a mistake along the way. Once we're certain that that is the accepted, approved geometry, we then build the bicycle. We are probably the only manufacturer in the world today building bicycles out of four materials in our own factory, and so we can customize a bicycle out of composite, titanium, steel, and aluminum in a 2 to 3 week turnaround time.
That's very fast. And you're building these in Canada?
We are, sir, in Montreal. We have our factory in Montreal. We're actually moving into a new 23,000 square foot factory that we've just finalized.
Now, I saw a bike over there called the Genio, which I couldn't believe was a custom bike. Let's go over and take a look at that. At the Guru Genio, which I'm looking at it and I can't believe this is a custom bike. Tell me a little bit about the bike. We'll put a picture on the website. Tell me how you make this. Don't give away any secrets, but tell me how you make it.
Well, when we created this bicycle, when we designed it, we actually, first of all, I want to mention that we did win an industrial design award for it because it is so innovative, and that it is available custom is quite incredible, really. What we did is we wanted to create a wonderful sculpture, which was also obviously technically very efficient, and it has a lot of technical merit. I mean, if you look at the bottom bracket area and the stiffness that we've imparted into that particular zone, it's quite remarkable that it can look so beautiful and yet be so efficient. But this bicycle is customizable in that it's all in the design, how we assemble the components together. There are multiple monocoque elements that we manufacture in-house, which we assemble together. So so we can customize, and we can make this bicycle into any given size, any seat tube angle required, any head tube angle required, 650C or 700C, really short top tubes or super long top tubes, longer wheelbase. We can pretty much do everything we want, and it's all because of good design, innovative design. Once again, that's our strength.
And the Genio, of course, is a carbon bike, but you also make bikes out of other materials as well, as you talked about before.
Yes, we're master craftsmanship, and we manufacture all of our bicycles in-house out of four materials. We are master welders. I mean, we take pride in the fact that we believe we're the best welders in the industry, and we're proud of that. And all of our bicycles out of any material is available in a 2 to 3 week turnaround time.
And then, of course, you've got another bike over here called the Carbonio Tie. Yes. Tell me about that bike.
The Carbonio, that's a gem of a bike. That is probably our first carbon fiber bike. We started with that bicycle. It's got tubular elements, tubular tubes, round tubes, essentially, whereas the Genio looks more like a sculpture and it's very, very, very aggressive looking. when we started with the Carbonio, we wanted to make a bicycle that was efficient, very lightweight, and that was just, you know, that rode extremely well. And so we learned how to create FEA models, really technical models on the computers to determine what was the best fiber layup, best orientations, multiple layup options and stuff like that. And so really that bicycle, the Carbonio, is the bicycle that made us really understand how to manipulate carbon. Then over the years, we actually we improved it. We changed all of our molds. We made it stiffer where we wanted it stiffer. And so this is probably the latest generation of the Carbonios that you see today here.
And the Carbonio, the Genio, what kind of a rider would you say that each of those bikes are for?
The Genio is very aggressive. This bicycle accelerates super, super fast. It is very comfortable. We designed it to be vertically compliant, yet laterally very, very stiff and torsionally stiff. So I would say that this bicycle, although it is quite comfortable in the vertical plane, the Carbonio definitely edges it out as a slightly more comfortable bike. And it is not nearly as stiff as the Genio, laterally speaking and torsionally speaking, but for someone who won't be using the bike for aggressive climbs, the Carbonio is great.
And that sounds like a lot of my listeners who are century riders and things like that, perfect bike for them. Well, great. Thanks for your time and have a great show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Well, as I mentioned in that interview, I am going to be posting photos of all the products that I'm talking about onto the website. So go to www.thefredcast.com, click on the tab at the top of the page that says photos, and then go into the Interbike 2006 page where you'll be able to see photos from each day that I'm at Interbike, photos of all the products that I'm talking about, as well as photos from the last 2 days at the outdoor demo. Well, next from Guru, I had a chance to walk over to a company called Slipstreams. This was a product that I had heard about before and I was intrigued by because, as you know, if it's legal where you live to wear your iPod while you're riding, sometimes you have to turn that volume up fairly loud because of the wind noise, especially if you're going downhill or you just happen to be a real fast rider. And that really can't be very safe because it's therefore very difficult for you to hear cars, other riders, emergency vehicles. And Slipstreams has come up with two products to help you solve that problem, whether you're wearing an iPod, whether it's legal, or whether you're not wearing an iPod. So here is the founder and inventor of Slipstreams to tell us about his product. I'm with Lonnie Teagues from Slipstreams, and this is a product that we've talked about on the show before. Lonnie's looking surprised, but it's true, because when I saw the press release online, I talked about it. It's sort of hard for me to describe, so why don't you describe for me what your product does?
Hey, I came up with the idea of trying to reduce wind noise on the ear when I was out on a ride one morning, and the wind noise was particularly bothering me that morning, and I tried putting a single finger in front of my ear on my temple, and I was astounded by the result. The wind noise didn't go away completely, but the sharpness of the wind noise in my ear disappeared, and that was 2.5 years ago. Subsequently, I had another job, and I started working with prototypes with bedding foam, cutting out pieces of foam and fastening them to my front helmet strap with cable ties. And the result of that process was what we call the Slipstream Slip right now, which is a foam deflector with a polyester fabric covering in which you can optionally put an iPod earbud in, because what the slip does is one, it reduces wind noise, but it also protects the ear from cool or cold air. And since we had the wind noise reduction there, and we had a foundation in which we could put an earbud, we designed the mold to accommodate the iPod earbud. And the benefit of that is that it moves the earbud speaker out of the ear. Subsequently, you can turn the volume down and hear environmental noise and voices, emergency vehicles, just as well. It's up to the user to decide how loud they want to turn the volume up. The design of the device itself does not inhibit your ability to take in ambient sounds.
Now, I noticed that you've also got a new product, which you're calling the spoiler, and that looks like it's designed more like you're putting your finger up to your head.
Correct. I possibly over-engineered the product. The slip does what it's supposed to do. It's cold air protection as well as wind noise reduction. But I was intrigued by, over the last 2 years, of the finger solution, but couldn't quite get it right. I was trying to devise different things of putting on the front helmet strap, but you would have to pull your helmet straps almost unbearably tight in order to get a seal against the side of your face. And then on the last day of the Tour de France this year, I was watching the cyclists running through, and looking at the close-ups on their heads, and looking at how the various helmet straps are arranged. And it dawned on me all of a sudden that if I put a twist, designed a twist in the front helmet strap, that it would lift the helmet strap, the trailing edge of the helmet strap, away from the face and create its own airfoil. And it doesn't compromise the safety because we still have a tight line on the helmet strap on the leading edge. And to make that deflection consistent, we designed what we call the spoiler, which is just a small sleeve which is twisted at around 40-50 degrees. And that goes onto both trailing edges of that helmet strap. And from experience, from our testing in South Africa, and from at the outdoor demo yesterday at Interbike, we were fitting these onto cyclists' helmets. And the consensus is it takes about 10 to 15 miles an hour off of the perceived airspeed that you have in your ear. And the benefit of that is obvious. You can converse with other riders in the group much better. You can hear traffic coming up behind you a little bit better. And psychologically, it's like riding with a tailwind. I like riding with tailwinds, even if it actually is blowing in my face.
And Lonnie's given me a pair of each to try, and we'll be talking about those on a future show. Lonnie, you've had a busy booth, and I wish you a lot of luck here at the show.
Thank you very much, David.
I have to say, I'm really intrigued by this product. I'm glad that Lonnie was able to give me a couple of samples, and I'm really looking forward to trying them out. I have a friend named Clark who, when I went riding with him one time, we decided to do about an 80-mile ride, and he showed up, and I looked at him, and I said, Clark, it's not going to be cold today. As a matter of fact, it's going to be pretty warm. What's with the foam on your ears? What's funny is Clark had come up with a very similar idea to what Lonnie came up with, and he was wearing his iPod during our ride, and he was explaining to me how this worked, and it really sounds like it will do the job. So I'm really looking forward to giving those a try. I'll be doing that in the next couple of weeks, and of course I'll be reporting back to you to let you know how these work, and I'll try both of them. And we can see, I can compare how each of them work, and I'll let you know. Well, it's no secret on the Fredcast recently we've been talking about the dreaded D word, dare I say it, doping. And I was interested to see how people were going to be handling that subject at this year's Interbike, because obviously it's a topic that's on everyone's mind, and even people who are not in cycling or in the cycling industry are talking about the fact that there have been so many scandals in the world of cycling surrounding the D word. And I came across a booth that I thought was really interesting. And the booth is a company called Ultimate Sports Psychology, and you can find them at ultimatesportspsychology.com. And I met Josh Horowitz and his wife, Rachel, and they started to tell me about the product that they are producing, and it's a series of audio CDs that instead of, to use Josh's words, instead of looking to an external opportunity to enhance your performance, look internally. And Josh's product is designed to help you use the power of your mind to become a better, safer, more competitive cyclist. Here's what Josh had to tell me about his product. I'm talking to Josh Horowitz from Ultimate Sports Psychology. Now, Josh is a Cat 1 racer, and he's also a professional cycling coach. Tell me a little bit about your product and what it's all about.
Well, our product is called the Ultimate Cyclist, and it's really it's the world's first sports psychology product designed specifically for cyclists. And we have a clinical hypnotherapist named Dr. Rick Collingwood from Australia who takes the listener through a progressive relaxation exercise, deep breathing, relaxation of the muscles and the mind, and puts you into a very relaxed state. Some people go into like a trance-like state. Most people fall asleep listening to it at night. And once you're either very relaxed or unconscious, he starts feeding you positive imagery, positive affirmations, visualizations, all about being a better cyclist, being a more relaxed, a more focused, and a more competitive cyclist. And it's basically all about just achieving your potential, not letting your negative thoughts, your negative imagery, all the negative talk that you have in your head, not letting that prevent you from reaching your goals and from reaching your full potential as a cyclist.
Now, how did you get involved with a product like this, and what has this product done for you?
Well, I was a Cat 1 racer. This was about 2 years ago. I was in the best shape of my life, but I was literally not able to finish a race because I was crashing that much that I think I ended up in the emergency room 3 weekends in a row. I was doing big races. I mean, these were big NRC races like the Redlands Stage Race. I was dating my now wife at the time. And it got to the point where there was one weekend where I woke up in the hospital. I don't remember the crash. I had a bad concussion. I was hazy for about a month after that. My friends and family were worried about whether I would even return to my normal self. And I just knew, I talked to my girlfriend, and she didn't tell me, she basically told me that, not that I had to stop cycling, but that I had to do something, that I couldn't go on the way I was going on, because it was really hurting our relationship. And I kind of eliminated all the factors, process of elimination. I figured out, okay, I'm not a bad bike handler. I've been racing for 15 years. That's not a problem. It's not just a coincidence, because one crash, you know, it happens. Crashing happens. Sometimes it's not your fault. And so I kind of, by process of elimination, I figured out that this is in my head, that somehow along the line, I've identified myself as someone who crashes. And I noticed that in every race I got into, I would be so nervous and so tense that I wasn't able to go with the flow, to kind of maneuver, to be quick on my feet, you know, to think straight. When you get tense, your mind develops this sort of tunnel vision. And you can see what's right in front of you, but when you're tense, you can't really see what's around you, what's behind you. You don't have a good sense of what's going on. And so I knew that basically this was in my head. I talked to a sports psychologist named Michael Madsen, and he gave me some great techniques like breathing and progressive relaxation and positive affirmations, which I used and instantly started noticing a great benefit. However, when I try to pass this information on to my clients that I coach, who are mostly Cat 4 racers, some of them are just recreational cyclists, some of them are elite racers. When I tried to pass this information on to them, I couldn't get them to just take the time to sit down and spend 10 minutes a day breathing. People have so much going on in their lives, with their kids and their jobs. It's really hard to concentrate and just take the time for yourself. To get them to go out and do a 5-hour ride and hammer themselves into the ground, no problem at all. I'll tell them to go do 5 hours and they'll go do 6. But to take 15 minutes and sit on the couch and turn the TV off and turn the radio off, I could not get them to do it. So I thought, I knew these types of things existed, these CDs that you can listen to that help you relax. And so I went online and I looked for one for cyclists, and there wasn't one. Turns out, didn't exist at the time. And so I just ordered about 20 different CDs that were, some of them were relaxation, some of them were positive, achieve what you can achieve kind of things. About 15 of them I threw away instantly because they were sounded like they were recorded in someone's garage. They were just terrible. But a few of them were pretty good, and the one that really stood out was this one by Dr. Rick Collingwood. Just the quality of the recording was so much better than any of these. It was really professional. Plus, his hypnotic technique was beyond what any of the other guys had. He just has this way of talking and this way of luring you into this state of relaxation, and you don't even realize he's doing it. It also has this really cool audio technology called Theta Rhythm, which is designed to simulate the theta rhythm in your brain when you're in a subconscious state. So it is a very hypnotic. It's just this pulsing rhythmic sound that just lures you into this state of relaxation. So I contacted him and asked him if he'd be interested in doing one for cyclists. And we worked together and we designed this CD and we put it out. It came out about a year ago and I started using it. And it's actually now been a year and a half. Actually, I've just finished my second full season without one single crash. I have not touched the ground in 2 years, which is just, it's great. It's great.
And all my listeners know I've had multiple crashes in the last couple of months, so it happens to everybody, absolutely. Now, if my parents and my wife would only understand that. Now, I notice you've got a bunch of different CDs. You have different CDs for different cyclists, for different applications?
We have, right now, the Ultimate Cyclist is our cycling one. Eventually, probably next year at Interbike, we're going to have the Ultimate Climber, the Ultimate Descender, the Ultimate Pack Rider. We're really going to hit the different cycling genres and, you know, basically all the areas where people have mental blocks that keep them from doing whatever they want to do. This year, though, what we did is we wanted to expand our market a little bit. So we developed the Ultimate Triathlete, the Ultimate Athlete, which is really for any sport. I use it myself for cycling because the ideas and the concepts behind it are the same for no matter what sport you're doing. But it's, you know, football, golf, tennis, whatever. We have Ultimate Sports Recovery, which is a really cool one. It's all about basically maximizing your recovery time. When you sleep, your body is repairing itself. And the CD kind of incorporates the mind-body connection, and it tells your mind to put your recovery apparatus into overdrive and really get your muscles healed. And it's amazing. I had someone who listens to it told me that they had their heart rate monitor strapped on. They were taking their resting heart rate. And they achieve, usually their resting heart rate is about 50, and sometimes 45, but usually 45 to 50. And they saw 38 beats per minute for the first time ever while they were listening to the CD. So that kind of gives you an idea of what it does for you. And the last one is Ultimate Fitness. And that one is geared towards maybe not a competitive athlete, but someone who's trying to lose weight, get in shape, get healthy, someone who wants more motivation to exercise, someone who just hates going to the gym and just, you know, wakes up and is like, oh, they're dreading it. They listen to this CD and you're going to wake up and you're going to be looking forward to going to the gym.
So where do people find out about your CDs? Where do they buy them and what do they cost?
Right now, the CD is it's on sale. It's on a couple of websites, but the best place is ultimatesportspsychology.com, which is my website. We're at the show here. We're hopefully going to get it into some bike shops and some catalogs, and we've had some interest. But go to ultimatesportspsychology.com. All the CDs are for sale there. They're $34.95 each.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck at the show.
Thank you very much. It was nice meeting you, and I'm glad to be on Fredcast.
Hey, you got to love the extra plug at the end of that interview. You know, this is something that I'm really interested in trying out, and I'd like to hear if any of you have done the same, whether it's with just a regular sports psychologist or whether you've tried any of these CDs from Josh's company. It really seems to me to be a really good concept and a really great way to train your mind. As Josh said to me at one point when I was talking to him today, you really can't train your mind unless you're able to also train your body. So I think it's a really great concept and nice to see a product like this at this year's Interbike. Next, I went and I visited Anthony Pigliacampo from Venture Design Works. They're the ones who created the GelBot that I reviewed on the show a number of months ago. And they have several new products, including one that is for your Camelback. And this one's pretty neat. So Anthony had a chance to tell me about that as well as one other product. But here, Anthony starts by telling us about his new Camelback product.
So what we have here is the fuel switch, and it's a way to add two fluids to your Camelback. And the way it works is you take your existing Camelback bladder and you plug it into our switch valve, and then you plug in an extra bladder into our switch valve. Your bite valve goes on the other end of the valve, so you have two tubes coming down your shoulder strap, and then right at the bite valve, you can just slide the bite valve from left to right and pick which fluid you're getting. So you can be riding, drinking Cytomax, move the bite valve to the side, and now you're drinking water.
And then I noticed you've also got a new flask for gels, and I think that one's pretty innovative because a lot of people use hard plastic bottles, and by the end of the day, it's tough to get the gel out. Tell me about this.
So this is Soft Flask. It's a five-serving gel flask made out of the same material you'd normally see in a Camelback or similar. And the idea is it's soft and squishy, so you can squeeze the entire thing and get all of the gel out. With the bite valve on the top, too, it makes accessing the gel much quicker, cleaner, and easier. So I can just bite into it, give it a good squeeze, and whether it has five packets in it or a half a packet in it, it's just as easy to get the remaining gel out.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Good luck at the show.
Hey, thanks, Fred.
Yeah, by the way, I got a lot of that at the show. It was really kind of fun. A lot of people, they would just walk by me and say, oh, Fredcast, are you David? And, you know, they just say, oh, I just listened to your show from the outdoor demo, or hey, you were just with me on my ride. And Anthony was one of those people who said that. I walked up to the booth and he says, wait a minute, you were in my ears this morning and now you're standing in front of me. So that was kind of fun and real nice. But a lot of people calling me Fred today. It's okay. I can take it. Speaking of listeners, I got an email recently from somebody who is a listener of the show and who works for this next company, and I had a chance to stop by and talk to them. This is Parley Cycles, and Parley Cycles is a relatively new company on the bicycle industry scene, and they are a custom frame builder. It's nice to see new small custom frame builders popping up every now and then. And I have to tell you, when I stopped by the booth, you know, originally I wasn't quite sure I wanted to do an interview because, you know, just because you're a listener doesn't necessarily guarantee that I'm going to interview your company. But when I saw the attention to detail that Parley is putting into their frames, and then when I saw that they had won Cycling Weekly's Race Bike of the Year, I wanted to sit down and talk to Bob Parley, the owner of the company. And this is what he had to tell me about their bikes and about their company.
Well, let's see. I came from somewhat of an obscure background, I guess, in terms of the bike industry. I started from the boat building industry, building high-tech Olympic-class racing sailboats and other high-end sailboats. And then I also had a company building windsurfers, Division II windsurfers. And we were a bit ahead of the curve there on building parts, and that business went away fairly quickly. And went back to boat building and was racing bikes at the time, and not being satisfied with what I could buy out there on the market, I decided that I knew enough about composites and about building things that I could come up with a pretty good bicycle. So from
boats to bikes. And when did you start the company?
About 6 years ago now.
And how has the company changed in all that time? And what kind of materials are you working with now as opposed to then?
I think the biggest changes are refinements in what we've done. The basic shape, you know, our tubing diameters have stayed the same. Our layups have stayed pretty much the same. We've introduced a little bit more carbon, gone away from like aluminum cable stops to carbon cable stops. When I first started my business, I designed and built all my own tubing, all my own parts. Now I have that outsourced by a company in Utah, and they're all built to my specs. So little things like that. Built a lot more bikes than we did 6 years ago. But the basic bike is still there. My goal was to build a bike that made sense structurally. Carbon fiber, it's unique material. As you know, I can make the bike stiffer torsionally, or I can play around with fiber orientation. I keep my design work fairly simple: round tubes, straight tubes, nothing, no funny humps or bumps or anything, and it's just your basic bike. The main ingredient there is fiber orientation and the selection of fiber.
So what would you say differentiates Parley from some of the other custom bike builders out there that we're seeing on the show floor?
I think use of fiber and the attention to detail. I'm not a big fan of doing things that don't make sense. I don't do things just, you know, to catch somebody's eye. But that being said, you know, when I build something, I want it to function well, but I also want it to be beautiful. So.
And the attention to detail shows. I'm looking at this article here in a magazine from the UK where you're the bike of the year, and one of the biggest things they said about your bikes is the attention to detail. Tell me a little bit about the fitting process. If somebody goes to their local dealer and how they find a Parley dealer and how they get fitted for one of your bikes.
Yeah, well, we work with I think probably our best shops are people that are like have the Serrata sizing system. You know, that's a nice fit for us because they've done a lot of that work and determining how to fit a person to a bike, and seems to work really well with us and all.
Who would you say is a typical Parley customer? What kind of cyclist are they?
Somebody that's looking for a high-end bike that's going to perform exceptionally well, that has that attention to detail, wants something that, you know, it's not looking for the gimmick, but looking for something that he can get on and ride and feel comfortable all day long and yet get that performance out of it as well. Typically 35 plus, 35 to 50 year old riders, typically not an awful lot of young rides on them. Our bikes do tend to be expensive, but it's that guy with a little more disposable income.
Well, good. Well, thanks for the time, and good luck here at the show.
Yeah, thank you. It was good meeting you.
Personally, for me, one of the things that differentiates the Parley is, as I said, the attention to detail. They're beautiful frames, and I'm putting some pictures on the website so you can see what they look like. I was very impressed with the work that Bob and his company are doing. Well, before I get to the next interview, I got to tell you, I was getting really tired. There's a lot of walking and a lot of talking going on, and one of the great things about this trade show over other trade shows is that there's a lot of opportunities for you to get nourishment. Because think of all of the hydration companies and all of the companies making energy bars. They're all giving this stuff away for free. So while you're walking around, every turn you take, there's another company handing out free samples of their bars or free samples of their drinks. And they keep you fueled throughout the day. And then when you really start to drag, everybody knows where to go. You head over to the Marzocchi booth, and there they've hired a number of very attractive young ladies who are working a very expensive, very wonderful Italian espresso machine. It's just simply making espresso all day long and handing it out for free. So I just want to say thank you to all of the hydration companies, to all of the nutrition companies, and especially to Marzocchi for keeping me fueled throughout the day at Interbike today and tomorrow. So once I had my energy, had my nutrition, and I was well hydrated, it was time for me to find my gizmo of the day. This was something, a product that I've wanted to take a look at and try for a very long time, and I was glad that I had the opportunity to speak with the folks from Motion Lingo. I spoke with Mark Malawaki from Motion Lingo, and he told me all about the Adeo, and this is what he had to say about his product and what it does.
The Adeo is the first talking GPS fitness training device. We call it the latest in GPS fitness technology.
So it talks to you. Tell me a little bit about how that works.
Sure. Basically, there are a number of different GPS type units out there. A lot of them are very watch based, display based. Our product has no display. When you work out, you get the feedback for your workout through your earphones. It gives you pace, speed, distance, elevation, time, calories, and you can set it, customize it to you on how often you get those updates. So it can be every mile, it could be every 30 minutes, it could be every 5 minutes. And you can also program it to give you the updates you want. So it doesn't have to give you all of them. You can say, for mountain biking, I really want to know elevation, speed, and distance. Or if you're a runner, you could set it to, for everything or some things. And so it's a very multi-sport product, which is one of the things we're very excited about.
So I was listening to you talk to some retailers who were here at the booth, and you were talking about blading and running and mountain bike. How many different sports have you heard of people using this for?
Well, what's interesting is, we've had now a number of people that have approached us since the product went live a couple months ago. And, Interbike is really the first opportunity we've had to really get into the mountain biking and biking crowd. And we were at the demo day, and, we had people coming up to us saying, I don't know if I really, think this is, something I could use or anybody could use. And then we just said, take it out, test it, And they did, and they came back and said, what I love about it is I don't have to think. I don't have to do anything. I know it's coming, and then pretty soon after a couple times, I'm waiting for it to come. And I'm like, when's this going to come? How am I doing, So they come back, and they're like, man, this is really cool. And we've had the same thing from skaters, inline skaters. I mean, we have a retailer, an online retailer we work with called Skates.com. It's a San Francisco company and probably one of the top online skating product retailers. And these guys came on with us very early on, and they have been just dynamite with our product. And they say, our people love this thing. And then what is really interesting about the inline group is that they really want to know how fast they're going. And there's certain things about the product that it can really tell you. And with the audible update, you get it all the time or as often as you want. Whereas with other stuff, you got to kind of wait till you're done. Or if you don't use a GPS type unit, you never know,
And one of the things, obviously, the first thing you notice about it is there's no display. So you're not having people constantly looking down at their handlebars to get an update on their speed, on their distance, and all of that. So that's real great. So when they're done with their ride, now what? How do they get the information out of your unit and into something that they can look at?
Exactly. When you're finished, you actually hit a button to stop your workout. Gives you a summary of that workout. And then what you can do is, when you're back to your PC or your Macintosh, which we find to be one of the biggest selling features of the product, is that it's multiple OS.
Okay, sorry. I hate to break in on the interview here, but can I just say, hallelujah. Okay, back to the interview.
Selling features of the product is that it's multiple OS. So we've had people tell us, man, I love this because it's Mac, because you can't buy anything for Mac. So our product is multiple OS. So when you get back to your PC or your Mac, you upload your workout to the software that we include. It's called Motion Track, that we actually created for the product. So you can upload that, and then you can chart it, you can graph it, you can do trending of your workouts. You can compare workouts, from last week, last month, and you can also then map it using Google Maps. We've actually created a map button, so it'll show you the route in Google Earth where you went, and it's very unique, very cool.
And then can you take the tracks that you've created in Google Earth and maybe send them over to your friends and say, hey, go do this ride?
Absolutely.
We've all heard about this new Nike iPod product. This sounds sort of similar. Tell me how it's similar and how it's different and how you differentiate yourself from that product, which has gotten a lot of publicity.
Excellent question, David. In reality, there are no real similarities. I mean, quite frankly, the Nike Plus iPod product is a pedometer. There's no GPS to it whatsoever. And, you know, I've had people come up to me at the show today, and they basically said, you know, what about that Nike Plus product? I heard that's GPS. I said, no. For $29.95. It's not GPS. It's a pedometer. You can't use it if you're a mountain biker. You can only use it if you run or walk. And, you know, being a pedometer, every time you change your pace or, you know, if you, you know, the way you walk or run, it screws it up. I mean, the calculations are off. So, you know, it may be good for what it does, but it's essentially a very, very limited type of product for, you know, people that want to kind of track what they're doing. Now, you know, the nice part about it is that you can display it on the iPod, so you're getting the information there. And I think, you know, it comes over the earphones as well. So that may be the only real similarity, but in reality, the data that you're getting back is nowhere near as accurate, and it's not based on GPS, and it's not multi-sport. So, you know, from our perspective, yeah, maybe some kind of little, you know, similarities, but in reality, our product is over and above, you know, a much more robust and more technology-based product that will give you accurate data on a multi-sport basis.
That is excellent. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
Well, that's going to do it for our day one coverage of the 2006 Interbike Expo. Hope you've enjoyed all these interviews with all these companies that I think are extremely Fred-worthy. I want to say a thank you to everybody who took the time out of trying to sell their products to speak with us so that you could hear just a little bit of what's going on at Interbike. Tomorrow's day two. It's my last day at the show because, as you know, on Friday, I'm going to the Portable Media and Podcast Expo in Ontario, California. As a result, not entirely sure that I'm going to be able to post the next show on Thursday or whether it will be on Friday, because immediately after Interbike ends on Thursday, I get in my car and I drive back to Los Angeles to get ready to go to that show. So keep your eyes out and keep watching your iPods and your podcatchers and iTunes for the next and final episode of the week. But I think I've given you plenty of content to listen to in the last couple of days, so I don't think you'll be wanting for content from the Fredcast. So until our next show, enjoy all the shows that we've been doing. Enjoy the little bit of music I'm going to give you. But most of all, as always, enjoy the ride.